Good evening and welcome to the rest of the news. We have a very special program today. We're going to be hearing from Angela Leet, who is running for mayor, and Rich.
My buddy Rich Pearson.
Pearson, yeah. We've got some real important information to give you today. Angela, do you have anything to say about why you're running for mayor?
I don't know how much your listeners may know about my background, but I am a native Louisvillian and was born and raised in the Hikes Point area, was adopted to Catholic Charities, and it's a very middle-class family. My dad was a United Auto Worker out at Ford Motor Company. My mom went back to work when my sister started kindergarten because it made it easier for the family to have those dual incomes. I paid my way through college. I had an option to go to local college. The idea of being able to leave town and afford being at an out-of-state university was not in the books that I grew up in. So I went to University of Louisville. I worked three jobs, put myself through school. I was the first in my family to graduate with a college degree, which I got in 5 years. I got both a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in civil engineering and went on to pursue my career down in South Texas. And when I was down in South Texas working as an environmental engineer, I also trained and became an industrial firefighter and a certified emergency medical technician. While I was doing that, I also was serving in the community as a school mentor, working as the vice president, volunteering as the vice president of the Chamber of Commerce for our local Chamber of Commerce, and was president of our engineering society there. So I don't sit still very long. I completed my MBA while I was there. I did all of these things, obviously, before kids and before a husband, so as a single person in my 20s. And then I found my way in a few short years right back to Louisville to marry my college sweetheart, who I had met in Air Force ROTC at U of L, and got married. Next week, we'll be celebrating our 18th wedding anniversary.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it's amazing how time flies when you're with the person you really love and is one of your best friends. And we now have two boys. One is 14 and one is almost 17. Got his driver's license yesterday.
Wow.
Exciting. I know. Exciting stuff. So just because of my mayoral process doesn't mean the wheels stop on what everybody else is doing in their lives. When I got into Metro Council 4 years ago, when I came back to Louisville, I started getting involved in the community, and I got involved with Habitat for Humanity and working on affordable housing. And then I got involved in other groups, whether it was Fun for the Arts and Water Step. And now I even serve on the Board of Trustees at Spalding University, which is a great urban university in our community. I got into city council and I saw things start to deteriorate. And for some, I saw that it had been deteriorating for a long time. But I saw this change in direction because I didn't feel like we were getting straight answers from folks like the police chief, because I've been very clear about the fact that I think that's a change that we absolutely have to have in our community. The crime has gotten out of control. We've seen this big spike, and yet we have a mayor that wants to tell everybody that crime is down. And in reality, the first year that he was in office, there were only 48 homicides. And last year, there were over 107, I believe is the number. I think trying to convince people that somehow we're doing a little bit better is just a false narrative. And there's too much of a false narrative going on in this community. We have problems with our infrastructure. At least we're finally seeming to get our hands around this conversation around education as a community. And Dr. Polio seems to be doing some great things there, along with our teachers and members that are involved. The whole community needs to be engaged in that conversation 100%. But we, in the mayor's office, have to acknowledge what we can control. We have to take charge of public safety for our community. We have to take charge of the infrastructure. And not just be average at it. We have to be excellent at it. When I drive through some of the roads, they're not excellent. When I see broken sidewalks, they're not excellent. When I see some areas of our community where crime is completely out of control and there's drug houses, gang houses, and prostitution, those things aren't under control. And we have to be real about addressing those things so that we can have a safer and cleaner community so we can have that economic opportunity for all.
Rich Pearson, can you tell us a little bit about the police?
Well, the police right now is in quite a bit of disarray. That's because of the leadership. There's poor leadership there, and that comes from the top down. He's already had two votes of no confidence against him. The FOP had a vote of no confidence against him, and the Metro Council had a vote of no confidence against him. And as I said before, that's the first time I've ever heard of that happening anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
The city council having a vote of no confidence against the police chief. When the mayor commented on that, he said that it's common and usual for a police chief of a large city to have a vote of no confidence. That is not correct. What happens in other cities is not our concern. Our concern is the city of Louisville. If you listen to the narrative that Mayor Fisher and Chief Conrad keep putting out to the public that this spike in murders is occurring nationwide and all other big cities like Chicago and Detroit and Philadelphia and all those places are having these spikes in homicides. So they're trying to tell us that it's common. We should just expect it and we should just accept it. Well, I don't. Yeah. Not at all.
I think that's one of the things he says is that it's national trend that crime is up, but it's the one indicator that on a national trend basis that we're outperforming the national trend. So we're outperforming the national trend on violent crime. Yet we underperform on every economic measure. We're underperforming.
Well, it seems like Mayor Fisher would get a new police chief.
You would think that. Put it in terms of a sporting event. If you had a team that had a pretty good record, and then all of a sudden a new coach comes in, and they just fall off a cliff. They can't win a game after that. And it goes on season after season after season. Obviously, that coach doesn't have what it takes to take that team to a winning season and to produce a winning team. That coach needs to be replaced. Well, that's a dramatic oversimplification of what's going on here in Louisville, but it just illustrates my point. Louisville had about 48 or 50 homicides when Greg Fisher took over and Chief Conrad came into power. Now it's more than doubled, and they're telling us that that's the new normal. Well, that's a normal that the city of Louisville doesn't need. And
that's right. Accept.
And how can you say that that's the new normal to the mother of a homicide victim? That's
right.
Just incredible that they think it's okay to do that. It's an extraordinary lack of leadership within the LMPD. But I do need to say that the officers are doing the best job they can with what they have. It's just they don't have a lot to work with because of poor leadership. And that comes from the chief, his executive staff, and many of his district commanders who report directly to him. There's just an extraordinary lack of leadership right now.
I think people have to remember that the only person who hires and fires that chief of police is the mayor. And they've made it clear to one another that they're working for each other. They're not working for our community. They're working for one another.
Can you tell us a little more about your story, how it relates to the police department?
I was involved in a situation in 2012 where myself and a couple of other officers uncovered the fact that there was an innocent woman who was in prison at the time for a murder that she could not physically have committed. We did nothing more than to release the information that we had to the authorities to show that she was innocent. And unbeknownst to us, that information was going to make the Kentucky State Police look very bad. Unbeknownst to us, our chief, Steve Conrad, and the then commissioner of the Kentucky State Police, Rodney Brewer, were best friends. And the retaliation started hot and heavy from that point.
Against the policeman.
Against the officers that were involved. There was three officers primarily involved in it. Myself, Baron Morgan, and at the time, Major Jimmy Harper. All three of us have since had to file whistleblower lawsuits against the city because of outright retaliation that we suffered at their hands. We lost our positions. Baron and I went from the Metro Narcotics Unit where we were posted back to uniform on the midnight shift. He had 18 years of service. I had a little over 20 years of service, and we found ourselves back basically at the entry-level position for a police officer. Jimmy Harper was subsequently demoted from major to lieutenant, and he had to file a whistleblower lawsuit, and he just won that lawsuit, and the city were ordered to pay him $300,000, and they settled out of court with Barron for $450,000. So Steve Conrad's incompetence, retaliatory nature, has cost the city almost $1 million. There's several more lawsuits pending, internal lawsuits, from officers against Steve Conrad for things that he's done that he shouldn't have done or didn't do that he should have. And those lawsuits are up into the multi-millions. If they are adjudicated the way that they stand now, I think one of those lawsuits is at $34 million. The city of Louisville can't afford to keep this guy in power. He's ruining our public safety. He's costing us a lot of money. He's ruining the ability of the police department to do their work. And that's just unacceptable.
Well, it seems like Mayor Fisher should have replaced
him. Mayor Fisher should have fired him years ago.
So that kind of makes the mayor look bad.
I would think so. As a lifelong citizen of Louisville, I think it absolutely makes the mayor look bad because the buck stops at the mayor on all issues that involve the city. He knows that there's a problem with public safety. Instead of addressing the problem head on, he keeps trying to make us think that it's the new normal. So just accept it and swallow it and just go on and live with it. And that's unacceptable. That's why we need a new mayor who can do something about this.
Angela, if you had the ability, would you try to get a better police chief than that?
Oh, I've been very clear. In fact, I was one of the very first elected officials to step up even before Metro Council deliberated and voted no confidence by majority. in the chief. I stepped up several months before that as an elected official to express my dissatisfaction and my no confidence in his leadership. People can be the nicest people in the world. It doesn't mean they're meant to be a leader. I had been listening for a few years on city council when we would be in committee meetings and we would ask specific questions of this police chief. We had denial of a gang issue for many years before they just recently admitted we have gangs in Louisville. They wanted to act like the problem didn't exist. It's not dissimilar from how they treated the child sex abuse case in the police department. It was brushed under the rug. They thought it would blow over. There's 7 pending civil lawsuits. If and when, whether they're settled or fully litigated out, are going to cost taxpayers millions of dollars. Taxpayers, that's my money. That's coming out of your wallet. It's coming out of my wallet. And I just find that we continue to have a mayor that continues to express confidence in this person is just remarkable to me. And it's completely unacceptable. And it's definitely part of the reason why I felt the need to step in and become a portion of the solution to the problem so we can identify new leadership, so that we can identify someone who has those qualities that will demonstrate leadership, that he or she can get the troops that he's or she is including or leading to all be in the game together, that they're supporting one another and that they're out there working for the things in our community to make safer streets and safer neighborhoods and eliminate the things that are causing blight and that are costing taxpayers more money, that are creating safety and security concerns, that prevent children from being able to go to the park because there's too many needles around. These are the things that we need that law enforcement side to be able to help sweep this stuff out of our community.
It's almost as if we need a new mayor in order to get the police department going right.
It's the only thing. Mayor Fisher's made it clear that he is standing with Chief Conrad, that he has confidence, and the only person who hires and fires the police chief in this city is the mayor. And so if we want to see that change and we want to see something new happen, something different happen than what we have right now, it takes leadership at the top. Mayor Fisher mentioned one time, he says, well, it takes more than one person to address that. You're right. It takes two people. It takes two of us. The person who is in the lead as mayor of the city has to identify those leadership qualities that are going to create less crime, create less drugs, create less gangs. And that will require a new leader at the helm of the police department.
One of the true marks of a leader is the ability to what we have in the city of Louisville right now with our leadership, with Mayor Fisher or Steve Conrad. What they do is they cover up mistakes. They lie to the public about mistakes. They say that these things didn't happen, as Angela was talking about with the gang problem. There were gangs in this city when I started on the police department in the early 90s, but we weren't allowed to talk about it. Some of the transparency issues, if you listen to Mayor Fisher speak, he's always big on transparency and being open and honest with the public. That is a total falsehood. That is an absolute lie on his part. Case in point is the Explorer sex scandal. They knew about that long ago. They did nothing about it. They actually covered it up, and the information is starting to come out to show that they actually made attempts to bully and intimidate some of the victims into silence. That's not transparency. It's not transparent when you spend $109,000 of taxpayers' money on secret out-of-town visitors and wine them and dine them with extravagancies at the Kentucky Derby and then refuse to tell anybody how you're spending their tax money. That's not transparent. Those are mistakes. Those are the marks of poor leadership, and we're not going to get any better until the leadership gets better.
Well, he never told us who those guests were. Is that right?
He still refuses to do so, and Angela has asked him directly.
That's right.
And he's just not going to tell us.
Unless we're working to try and pass an ordinance. We did get some of the names, but we haven't gotten all the names. And I think that people deserve to know where their taxpayer dollars are going. There's too many instances in our community where those dollars can't be accounted for. We deserve to know. We're asked every day to give more. We're always hearing that those fees aren't high enough. We need to increase your MSD rates. We need to increase parking fees. We need to increase all these different things instead of saying, how can we make our government more effective and more efficient within its current context? And when we've built the trust of our community that we're spending money effectively and efficiently and they demand additional services, then we can have a different conversation. But can we get to effective and efficient management of that money first and deal with the things that we have to deal with, those needs in our community and in public safety, infrastructure, and those things will lead to more economic opportunity. And if we have more economic opportunity, then we'll have more revenue in the community to kind of build upon to address those needs. Right.
Okay. Tell me about this Explorer scandal. Did Fisher cover that up?
Information is starting to come to light that shows, and we knew this on police department years ago, but information is starting to come to light that shows Chief Conrad had briefed Mayor Fisher on the entire Explorer sex scandal years ago.
Years ago.
That actually came out in one of the depositions that Chief Conrad gave in the Jimmy Harper trial, that he had himself briefed Deputy Mayor Ellen Hessen, as he said, dozens of times on the sex scandal, and he had briefed the mayor directly at least once on the sex scandal. But when the mayor was deposed in that same lawsuit, he said that he had never been advised of any of that until the public was made aware of it. They contradict one another. That means one or both of them is lying. Chief tells many lies of his own, but in that context, it's pretty obvious that the mayor is lying. And if the mayor's willing to cover up things as egregious as this and lie to the public and lie under oath, because when you give a deposition, you are actually under oath. He committed perjury. That speaks volumes to his leadership. That speaks volumes to him as a man. If he is so low down that he would be okay with covering up children being raped, he cannot be allowed to stay. This cannot be allowed to continue.
And I would add, what I found interesting is that the claim that we've heard consistently in the last year and a half or so on this particular matter is that he read about it in the newspaper. He's running a city and he has to learn about things in the newspaper. I find that shocking because public integrity unit on the police department, and Rich, you correct me if I'm wrong, but that is the unit that does criminal investigations of government employees. That's the only people that are under investigation in the public integrity union, government employees under criminal investigation. How can a mayor not know exactly how many investigations are ongoing? How can a mayor not know and make the inquiries to what their status is? How can the mayor not be more cognizant to understand what's going on in other departments, even if it's beyond just the police department, if it's solid waste, if it's MSD, if there's an ethics complaint? It's his job to know. And you cannot always fly in the clouds. There are times you've got to come out of the clouds and you've got to get into the details and you've got to be asking the hard questions and you've got to be demanding accountability from the people who work for you, because their job is to work for the city, to work for the citizens, to work for you, to work for me every day to make sure we're doing the things that government is supposed to be doing.
And I find it very interesting that Mayor Fisher knows exactly how many bike lanes we have in this city.
Oh,
but he
please.
Professed not to know that police officers were raping children. That just flies in the face of common sense. It's actually an insult to the intelligence of the public for Chief Conrad and Mayor Fisher to say they didn't know about these things. To actually believe the public is so stupid as to believe this foolishness that they keep trying to put off on us.
And you said that one of these trials, somebody said they had told the police.
Correct. Chief Conrad himself said that he had briefed both Deputy Mayor Ellen Hessen and Mayor Greg Fisher. He said that he had briefed both of those parties. Ellen Hessen said that she couldn't remember being briefed about something as huge as police officers raping kids. And Mayor Fisher said he had never been briefed. Chief Conrad said, yes, I did brief him. I did tell him myself. So obviously somebody's lying. You can't have liars with department heads like mayors and police chiefs. You cannot have them lying to the public. And they are.
Now, this is a call-in program, so if any of our listeners want to call in, the number is 571-0970. 571-0970 if you want to call in and get in on this conversation. But it seems to me that someone said that he had been briefed, and now he says, oh, no, I didn't know anything about it.
He claimed from the very beginning that he didn't know anything at all about it. But Chief Conrad himself said that I briefed him. I told him myself at least once. So there's an obvious lie under oath right there. What kind of confidence or faith can you have in a mayor and a police chief who openly lie about something this bad? That's why we need new leadership from the top. And as Angela Leet has stated, one of the very first things she intends to do as mayor, and correct me if I'm wrong, is to call in Chief Conrad and say, Chief, you're not the chief anymore. You've been replaced, because he's just completely and totally ineffective. He has become the major problem with public safety in our community today. And I know people always say, well, one man can't affect crime citywide. Well, yes, he can. If he cripples the police department is the entity that's supposed to take care of crime citywide. And if one man is able to cripple that whole department, then that one man has, in essence, affected crime citywide. And that's what Chief Conrad has done.
In other words, the police are kind of halfway afraid to get involved in some of these controversies because Conrad might come against them.
Well, they're more than halfway afraid because they know that Chief Conrad will retaliate. They know that anything they do that it in any way angers, upsets Chief Conrad, he will come after them. He's very heavy-handed in his discipline. Disciplinary measures that could be handled by just a counseling session or a written reprimand, he's wanting to suspend people for. And we've got a lot of young officers on the police department who have young families at home, and they just can't take the risk of losing days of pay. Some of them are living paycheck to paycheck. They can't take the risk of losing several days' pay or losing their jobs altogether. So even before I retired, I had young officers saying to me, "Lieutenant, I know what's going on my beat, but I know if I get out on these dope dealers and these gangbangers and these people that I know are doing all these bad things, eventually something is going to happen and this chief will fire me." So they're more afraid of the chief than they are of any criminal. It's been that way since Chief Conrad came into town.
Some of these officers were actually punished for telling on some of these incidents that came out. Like at the trials, they got compensation because they exposed some of the corruption.
There was one lieutenant, and I won't say his name because he's still on the department, but he actually heard the mayor saying a lot of bad things about Jimmy Harper. The mayor subsequently later on said that he didn't know anything about Jimmy Harper. He had no input or no intelligence or no information on the Jimmy Harper situation. But this lieutenant heard him saying these terrible things about Jimmy Harper. This lieutenant actually came to the civil lawsuit and testified in the witness stand that he heard the mayor say these things. And he is terrified. He said it under oath in the witness stand. "I am terrified that I'm going to be retaliated against now because I brought forth the truth." And that's how the officers are living on LMPD right now. They're terrified of their own department. And that means they're not going to do their work the way they should, which jeopardizes public safety for you and for me and for all of us.
It sounds like the chief was trying to punish the whistleblowers.
Absolutely. When it was considered a whistleblower case, my case and Baron Morgan and Jimmy Harper, because we brought forth information about that innocent woman that was in prison. And then when we were retaliated against, that was what the retaliation was about. And he's known for retaliating. He is a very vindictive, vengeful man. He's small. This is just my opinion, but I think it's an opinion that's shared by obviously the majority of the police department. But he's a small, petty, vindictive man, and he has to go.
Well, Angela, what else would you be working on if you become mayor?
In this line of talking about taking care of our police officer, some of the other things is that I've learned as being on city council is that our officers on Louisville Metro Police Department are paid about the worst in the entire county. So they can actually go work for the city of Prospect, the city of St. Matthews, the city of Shively, the city of, of J-Town, and make not just like a few hundred more dollars. We're talking a few thousand more dollars in other departments.
Lots of officers have gone across the bridge to New Albany to work for just that very reason.
And Jeffersonville. So we're losing police officers that we're paying to train, so that our taxpayer dollars are being used to train these officers. And then because they can't end up taking care of their family with the paycheck that they're getting, because it's not a living wage, they have to work two or sometimes three jobs to provide for their families, or they begin to immediately look for a different position elsewhere, which doesn't serve our community well, right? Yeah. It's great that they're taking that training and then going to J-Town, but we've also got to work collaboratively together, and we've got to make sure that we have qualified officers. We've reduced training. We've reduced our standards in terms of who's eligible. And I think that we have to talk about the reality of how do we get more police officers on the street feeling supported by their leadership to be able to address some of these concerns. And we have to take care. What never has made sense to me is why would you want to pay government employees something that would be less than a living wage when they then turn around and have to have government subsidies through other programs in order to make ends meet? There's no sense in that to me. Let's do our business effectively and efficiently as government and do those things that we're supposed to be involved in on a limited basis, public safety and infrastructure to create economic opportunity for all. Those are the things that we have to do. Limited government, it doesn't mean we have to be in every single space all the time. We look for collaboration. We look for partnerships. We create platforms to make sure the public is aware of things. And those are some of the things that we have to change.
Thank you very much, Angela Leet, running for mayor of Louisville, and Rich Pearson, retired police officer. We're about out of time. Thank you for listening and tuning again next week for the rest of the news.
Thank you, Dr. Simon.
Now, I don't know if you can see that, but what we just talked about is on this paper. And we'll send you these in the mail and get you enough for everyone in your church. Yeah. Now, we called AFA National Office, and they said, this is not political.
Right.
Because Trump is not running on the ballot, and neither is Soros. So what they stand for is not politics. Okay, so if you would like a copy of these and maybe hand them out to everyone in your church or neighborhood, I feel very strongly we've got to do something because we cannot sleep through this upcoming election.
It's the most critical election in the history of this country. People are not being informed at all.
Absolutely not.
It's causing a major problem, and we're going to have to do everything we can to make sure that we can turn this around, and the Christian voter is a major portion of that thing. That list you've got there is that one of the things they're supporting is abortion. The abortion clinics and all that. But the ironic part is that the whole purpose of abortion was started by liberals who wanted to get rid of the black race.
Yeah, that's right. Unbelievable.
Turn this all around. So this is another part about what's been missing from our educational system. Education about our history and the evolution of various programs that have been going on forever.
Margaret Sanger.
Margaret Sanger and her group, and that was the purpose of that, was to eliminate the problem of
the black
community. Yeah.
They wanted to eliminate, that's genocide, I guess you'd call it.
Call it, exactly.
Get rid of all the black people. That's what Margaret Sanger, and head of the Democratic Party, said, that if you're pro-life, you're not welcome in the Democrat Party. Can you imagine that?
And they've done that with everything, and they've attacked the Catholic Church for the same reason.
Because they think there are too many people, I guess, and they want to knock off a few of us.
Right. Well, this has been something else. And another interesting event that occurred, it was in the Judicial Watch, where they filed a lawsuit against the State of Kentucky Board of Elections.
Yeah.
They've been able to reverse that. And they discovered in their investigation that there were 45 counties in the state of Kentucky that the voter registration totals exceeded the population in that county.
Well, it's a lot of corruption, and it's a constant problem. Now, let me just mention this real quick before I forget. This is a video, and it's called the Jesus video. It's free. And this organization called CAP, Christ for All People, is giving this away, as far as I can tell. You can send them a donation. They would like that. But it's in 100 languages, and you can get it for free. So if you would like one of these and one of these. Now, this is what this election is all about. The difference between the two, you say, the cultural war that's going on. The people that believe in America and freedom and the Constitution and all that, gun rights, they are one side. The other side is the people that want to confiscate your guns, do more and more abortions, and raise the taxes, and get these deals where they're going to put an American workers at a disadvantage.
Exactly.